Philip was on fire in Samaria. He had an amazing ministry. People were coming to Christ. He was baptizing. He was clearing out spirits. It was just an amazing time. And he's asked now, you got to head down this deserted road, and right? And what does it say? He rose and he went. Here's a man, again, it's redundant, but here's a man that had just an amazing, powerful, God-led ministry, and he's asked to go. Is he given any details? Do you hear me quoting any details? Did you read any details? Nothing, right? He had no idea where he was going, but yet, he didn't stop, he didn't say, he didn't object, he didn't say, let me pray over it, let me talk to, some counsel. He rose and he went.
Abounding in Faith is the broadcast ministry of Emmanuel Bible Church of Howell, New Jersey. If you are blessed by this message, please subscribe to our podcast or YouTube channel. You can also download our app by searching for IBCNJ in the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. For more information, please visit us at www.ibcnj.org. Our speaker today is Pastor John McManus.
Hallelujah, I'm free. Hallelujah, I'm free. Jesus, my Savior, has rescued me. Just want to give a shout out, just a shout of thanks to Nick and Tracy, just for sharing their testimony, sharing what God has done in their lives this morning, and being obedient to the Word of Scripture, as Pastor Mike said, that's a command of Scripture, right? We believe, we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and as that public profession, we get baptized in the name of Jesus. So again, thank you so much. What a blessing to hear the testimony, and just knowing the whole story is just absolutely amazing. So anyway, in keeping with the spirit of this morning's service, today we'll be looking at the account of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, which is found in the book of Acts chapter 8. I've titled my message today, Spirit-Led Evangelism. But before we get into this morning's text, I'm going to ask you to stand as we honor the Word of God. And like I said, turn to Acts chapter 8. We'll be in verse 26 and going to verse 40. And if you're using a pew Bible, if you need one, it's in the pocket in front of you. It's page 917. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go to the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And he rose and he went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seating in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this, like a sheep led to the slaughter, like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask, does this prophet say, about himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with Scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. And when he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself and Azotus. And as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks and praise again just for your grace, your goodness, this free gift of salvation that you give, not because it's anything we earned or deserved, but you give it to us freely, Lord. So we just, as we open up your word this morning, Father, I just pray that you would just bless it, and we just thank you again for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, obviously, we have here two main characters. We have Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. So, who is Philip? Who is this man, Philip? I mean, if we based our conclusion solely on the verses we just read, we would have to assume that this is probably Philip, one of the 12 that Jesus called. And even the full name, if you look at the book of Acts, it's the Acts of the Apostles. So again, you'd be led to believe that this has to be Philip the Apostle. But as always, when we're studying Scripture, we don't have to make guesses. We don't have to make assumptions, right? We can just rely on the Word of God for any additional background or context. So for this particular Philip, we have to go back a couple of chapters in Acts 6. So we read in Acts 6. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom will we appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and they laid hands on him. So this Philip that we're speaking about here in these passages this morning is none other than Philip, one of the 7 men chosen to serve the body of Christ. Many would say that these are the first deacons of the church. So I just want to just also point out something here in Acts 6, because it really has a lot of bearing on this morning's account or story, right? We read one of the qualifications in verse 3 is that they must be full of the Spirit. I point this out again because it has a lot of bearing on how Philip responds this morning. So keep this in mind, okay? So now we know who Philip is. The next question we get to this morning is, how did this Philip go from being one of these 7 men helping out the widows in Jerusalem, and then he winds up somehow in Samaria, of all places? Remember, Samaria was a place that was reviled by the Jews. They would go out of their way not to go through there and have anything to do with them. So let me try to fill in the blanks here of how Philip wound up in Samaria. If you recall, the early church wasn't going, you know, super smooth. They had this man, right? It fell under tremendous persecution, the early church. The man who was leading this persecution has been known as Saul, later known as Paul, right? His mission was nothing short of wiping out this early church. These so-called Christians, right? All those who believed in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, he wanted them gone. So at Acts 7, Stephen had just been martyred. Just giving you a little history lesson here, right? for his faith, and Paul had no intention of stopping there. He was full steam ahead. Let's pick up in chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And Saul approved his execution, talking about Stephen now. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Let me throw something out here. This to me was just really cool, right? So we see that Saul, or Paul, whatever you want to call him, is determined to destroy the early church. Amen? He's even going house to house, dragging men and women out. That's how crazy he was to kill this early church. And because of this ruthless persecution, verse 1 says what? That they scattered. They all scattered. They all ran away. So if you look at this, and you know, on the surface, it sure looks like Paul's winning here, right? He has them scared. He has them on the run. Stay with me a second, please, as I jump around. Let's skip back now. We go to the early church, and even before the church, I'm sorry. We go to the first chapter of Acts. Jesus is giving his final instructions to his disciples before he would ascend into heaven. And those instructions were that they were to remain in Jerusalem until they received the power of the Holy Spirit, as I'm sure most of you remember. And he was also laying the groundwork for their ministry, their upcoming ministry, their future ministry. Listen to what Jesus tells them in Acts 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the world, end of the earth. So wait a minute here. Where did Jesus command them to go? Judea and Samaria. Can any plan created by man stop the will of God? I think of Joseph, right? What you meant for evil, God meant for good, right? So Paul goes in there, he's trying to stir it up, he's chasing everybody, people are scattering. Guess what? It's fulfilling the command of Jesus Christ, unbeknownst to him. They're all scattered and going to the exact places that Jesus is calling. So I thought that was pretty amazing stuff there. So let me get back on track and hope I'm not losing any of you with a lot of background here, but I think it's important. Just give me a quick second. So we know now who Philip is and how he wound up in Samaria because of this intense persecution, right? Now let's look at the why. Why did the Lord send him there? We're still in Acts chapter 8, but I'm going to pick up now in verse 4. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. When they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. And then if we skip down to Acts 8:12, it says, but when they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. I really want us to understand what's going on here. Here's this man, Philip, right? short time before, he's serving as, we'll call him a deacon, even though that wasn't an official title or anything, in a city that he was comfortable, a city that he probably maybe even grew up in, I'm not 100% sure, and he was helping the widows out. I don't want to minimize that task that he was doing, but it's obvious from these verses that Philip was being used in just a mighty way, a supernatural way in Samaria. Amen? Can I get an amen on that? Right? He's teaching, he's preaching, he's leading many to salvation in an area that Jews wouldn't even go to. You talk about the power of God, right? So let's just establish he had a pretty good ministry going on there, right? So now I think I'm finally done with some background. I know, finally. But let's break down this morning's text. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise, go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." So Philip is visited by an angel who directs him not only to leave Samaria and head to Gaza, the angel gives him very specific instructions on how to get there. He directs Philip to take this road, which depending on your translation, says either a desert place or a desert road. Whatever the translation, ain't nobody on that road. Okay? He's being directed to take this deserted road down to Gaza from Jerusalem. During that period, though, there were two roads that led to the same place. The northern coastal road, which passed through populated areas, and then the southern desert road, which was desolate and passed through hill country. He's asked, I want you to wrap your head around. He's asked to head down this deserted road on a 60 to 100 mile journey that's going to take him at least 2 to 4 days. What would Philip do? Verse 27 says, he rose and went. We really need to put this in perspective, guys, this morning. As we read in the previous verses that we just shared, Philip was on fire in Samaria. He had an amazing ministry. People were coming to Christ. He was baptizing. He was clearing out spirits. It was just an amazing time. And he's asked now, you got to head down this deserted road, and right? And what does it say? He rose and he went. Here's a man, again, it's redundant, but here's a man that had just an amazing, powerful, God-led ministry. And he's asked to go. Is he given any details? Do you hear me quoting any details? Did you read any details? Nothing, right? He had no idea where he was going. But yet, he didn't stop, he didn't say, he didn't object, he didn't say, let me pray over it, let me talk to, some counsel. He rose and he went. So that just speaks into the character of Philip, and that's why I said to take notice that one of the qualities or qualifications that they were looking for as a deacon, what he had to be, you know, full of the Spirit. You can't be without the Spirit to take this leap of faith, right? So Philip's on his way now, heading to, he has no idea what, he just knows he's got to go. And now we come to our second character, is the Ethiopian eunuch. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. So here we have a man from Ethiopia, a eunuch. I'm not going to get into his situation this morning, but this is a man with great authority. Okay? He's in charge of all the queen's treasure, or in today's terms, he would be the minister of finance or the secretary of treasury. But obviously, this man, from a worldly standpoint, was doing okay. But he had obviously an emptiness in his soul. The text says that he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Think about this. This man wanted the truth so bad that he traveled between 1,500 miles to 2,000 miles in one direction. And this trip, we're not talking in a car, right? We're talking in a chariot. Took months each way, right? So I don't want to hear this morning about your commute, you know, from Jackson, you know, to come here this morning. Took me 20 minutes. There was traffic, you know, all this stuff. This man seeking the truth spent months, traveled thousands of miles, okay? And there's no details given as to what transpired in Jerusalem, right? We just catch him on the way back. But what does it say? It says that he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And here's another, just something to ponder, right? In those days, you didn't just go to the local store and pick up a Bible. That scroll that he was reading was something that a scribe would have hand copied. And I'm certain, and most commentators are certain, he would have had to pay a fortune for that. That's how committed this eunuch was to finding the truth, okay? At all costs. We'll move on. And the Spirit said to Philip, there's that Spirit again, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was like this. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb he was before the shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation, for his life is taken away from the earth? So whether Philip knew it or not, this now was his entire purpose for leaving his thriving ministry in Samaria, to meet this Ethiopian on this deserted road and lead him to salvation. Look at the obedience here. Here the Spirit is saying to him, go over and join this chariot. And again, no hesitation. What does it say here? He ran to him. Not a second's worth of doubt, not a second's worth of second guessing. He ran to him. And what the Ethiopian was reading, just so we're clear on this, is Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. Isaiah 53 is widely regarded as one of the most detailed and profound descriptions of Jesus Christ in all of Scripture. Excuse me a second. And it was not uncommon for somebody reading aloud in those days. People used to just sit and read aloud. Can you picture Philip running over to this chariot? He's like, what you reading, you know? Yeah, understand it? You good? Got it? But look at the humility in the eunuch, right? Here is this powerful man, certainly with this huge entourage, right? And he admits that he's confused. He doesn't know. And he says this. He says, how can I understand unless someone guides me? wasn't going to make believe he knows. He's seeking the word. He's seeking the word of God. He's seeking the truth. And he's powerless to understand it without some help. And that's when he invites Philip to sit with him. So if there was any doubt whatsoever in Philip's mind of what his mission was, now it's go time, right? He invites him into the chariot with him. And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or somebody else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. There's the door. There's the opportunity, right? The eunuch had just basically kicked the door wide open. He asked him if Isaiah is speaking about himself. He's speaking about himself in his scroll, or is he speaking about somebody else? He doesn't get it. And Philip, filled with the Holy Spirit, explains who this sheep is. And the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Explaining how Jesus was the Messiah, that he suffered, crucified, and rose again on the third day. And I think it's interesting that in verse 35, it says that Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, beginning with Isaiah 53, he shared with him the good news about Jesus Christ. So think about Philip in Samaria, not Samaria, I'm sorry, in Samaria, how he was teaching, preaching. So he is obviously well-versed in the Word of God, right? So I could just picture it now. He's just peppering him with all these things that this eunuch needs to know about Jesus Christ, right? And as they were going along on the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Philip, being obedient to his calling, shares the gospel with this eunuch. And it doesn't say specifically, but he believes, he repents, and he accepts Christ as his Savior. And now he wants to declare, just like we saw this morning, he wants to declare publicly with an act of obedience, the eunuch that is, right, in baptism. He asked Philip to baptize him. Scripture is not specific about what he knew about baptism, but I would assume that Philip probably shared him the steps, right? And just like we've seen today, it's not the act of baptizing or being baptized that saves. Just want to say that again, guys. And I know most of you know this. Being baptized is not what saves you. That's just an outward expression of an inward change. Amen? So, Philip now baptizes the eunuch. Keep in mind that what I said earlier, this is a very, very powerful man with a very powerful position and likely traveling with this huge entourage. Can you imagine what a testimony and what they must have been thinking, everybody that was in this entourage? Here's their boss, this guy, and now he goes in the water and he's proclaiming Jesus as his Savior. We'll finish up here with these verses. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and a eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he passed through. He preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Think about it. Can you imagine the reaction of the eunuch when he came out of the water? And where was Philip? He was gone.
That reminds me, has anybody seen Pastor Mike since he baptized Nick and Trace? Oh, no. Oh, you're still here. Okay. All right, good. You just never know. Now, if you're looking for me to explain explain how and why that happened, yeah, come to the wrong place this morning. I mean, similar things have happened with Elijah and Ezekiel when they were miraculously snatched away, but only the Lord knows the particulars, right? I read from one commentator that maybe this miracle, maybe by this miracle, the Holy Spirit confirmed to this entire caravan, and the eunuch, of course, included, that Philip was his instrument used for this purpose on this day, and then took him to serve more. And the beauty of this is that the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. That's what the Word of God says. He went on his way rejoicing. Now they split up. He goes on his way rejoicing. And Philip continued to be used by God. What does it say here? Philip found himself in Azotus, and he passed through, and he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. So here he is, shows up at the next place, and he's still going, right? So look at what God did to this man. Both men. It's believed that, it's nothing specific in the Word of God, but it's believed that by many scholars, many commentators, that the eunuch became the first missionary to his native land of Ethiopia. And at that time, that was the furthest civilized place on earth. Do you remember what I read in the beginning when Jesus was commanding his apostles, his disciples, where they would go preach? And I'm sure they had no idea how that was going to take place. Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. It's a little bit of a stretch maybe, I don't know. But the Ethiopian eunuch goes back to, at that time, was the end of the known earth. And I believe that he spread the good news of Jesus Christ. So, what are the lessons or applications from this message this morning? Number one, be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, Philip three times, right? He left for Samaria. Then he left. He left to go to Samaria, then he left Samaria, then he was led to go talk to the eunuch. So be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that goes to for all of us. I'm giving Philip as an example, but that's us. And how do you do that if you're not walking in the Spirit, if you're just kind of caught up in the things of this earth? Very difficult. Very difficult. So be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because if you're not, you're not going to hear it, right? And listen to, I'm just give you two verses here where the Bible speaks into that. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, and that's in Romans 8:5. Again, be sensitive, walk in the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. That's Galatians 5:25. The next lesson or application, whatever you want to call it, is sometimes the leading of the Spirit defies human logic. Here's Philip with this thriving ministry, on fire for the Lord, and he's asked to just go and give it up. Not given much detail at all, right? Defies human logic. And I guarantee that's happened to some of us out here. Spirit talks to us and like, Lord, that doesn't even make any sense. Sometimes it's not going to make sense. And listen to what Isaiah says here. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as heaven is high above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Sometimes we cannot understand God, right? But we just need to be obedient when we really feel the Spirit of God calling on us. It may not make sense, may not be logical. The third application is the gospel is available to all who seek him. To all who seek him. There is no, the gospel can only go there or here or this person or this, right? Look at the eunuch. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek, Romans 1:16. And this I love from Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Is there any better example of this eunuch seeking, searching, looking for the truth, looking for God? And just as it says here in Jeremiah, when you seek me and find me, when you seek me with all your heart, God will put somebody in that path. He does it all the time. Okay? Number four, know the word of God. Know the word of God. And again, this is based on this passage, but these are all for us, right? These are all for us. Know the word of God. He's reading, he gets called into the chariot. He explains it. He explains Jesus, right? So if you really want to be effective for God, you really want to be effective for evangelizing and sharing the good news, know the word of God. That doesn't mean you need to know every detail of the Bible. That should not scare you away from sharing the truth. But know the word of God. It says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching you and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And then in 2 Timothy, a very familiar passage, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training of righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16. And then lastly, as far as application goes, always be ready and willing to share the good news. We're commanded, right? That's not an optional thing. First Peter says, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that you have in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. I like the end of that. Do it with gentleness and respect. And then in 2 Timothy, it says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. I'm going to throw one more out there, final one, that's not listed. And thank you, Brandon, for my 150 slides today. I'm visual. I like having it up. We all serve an all-knowing and sovereign God. Amen? There are no coincidences, just divine appointments. I'm going to say that again. There are no coincidences, just divine appointments, especially when sharing the word of God. How many times, if we're being honest, the Spirit's telling us, go talk to that person, go share Christ, share the hope that you have. And that's, and we kind of write it off and we don't do it for a whole host of reasons. I'm not judging, condemning. I'm just trying to encourage you that these are a lot of, most times, divine appointments that God wants you to go and speak to somebody, right? I just want to finish up. I'm just going to read just one, a couple of verses from Romans, and we'll be done. First, I just want to, again, thank you, Nick. Thank you, Tracy. What a blessing, honestly. I'm sure you were blessed. You've blessed everybody in this place this morning with your testimony, and we're just so grateful. Just thank you so much. Let me just read this from Romans 10, and then we'll finish up in some worship. This is just as an encouragement to all of us to go boldly and share the good news. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for your word. Thank you for this beautiful example of a seeker, of an obedient servant coming together to share the good news and to accept you as their Lord and Savior. Thank you again for your goodness. Thank you for Nick and Tracy. I just pray you bless them as they continue their walk of faith, Lord. We give you all the honor and glory. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the previous message. We pray that you were blessed by it. For more information, please visit us at www.ibcnj.org.